Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
We're building bridges, not erecting walls.
We'll attend a rally, No Taxes for War, and then speak with Veterans for Peace activists outraged over what they're calling the genocide tax. $17.8 billion for Israel on top of $250 billion since 1970.
Well, now we have two activists waiting in the wings, but before we get to them, we're going to help set the pace for our friends from Veterans for Peace. But we're off to deal with my taxes. Well, that is, I'm headed to the New York office of the IRS to join the now 100-year-old War Resistance League and telling them, that is, the IRS, you're dead wrong. Stop using our tax dollars. 45% of the $2,529 billion on militarism. War is not the answer. Disarmament and diplomacy are. We're going to head straight to the IRS, and then we're going to have our great friends Mike and Jack on. You're here with a wonderful sign that actually had a lot of thought. There's actually two of them. One, I would no more pay taxes to the IRS than kill for the Pentagon. The other one, war not with my money, I refuse to pay. So tell me who you are, what you're doing here today.
Ed Hedeman. I'm with the War Resistance League, New York City, and I'm here to protest the tax monies that the U.S. spends on the military, which is a huge amount. I've been refusing to pay my taxes to the IRS for over 50 years. I've paid none. They've collected almost nothing. I've been taken to court once, federal district court, by the IRS for my refusal to pay and not reveal sources of assets to the government. The amount of money I refuse is secondary to the act of resistance itself. I think it's very important to be visible up front and seen, and the government know why I'm doing it, and to be a thorn in their side. That's how we're going to change things, is if people are willing to throw their bodies on the gears of the system to slow it down or stop it.
And what does this have to do also with the fact that there is a genocide unfolding in Palestine and a good amount of our tax dollars are going to say, and I assume we're saying no more genocide in our name. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
We're opposed to war in any form, in any country. It's not just U.S. wars, but wars in other countries. And the fact that the United States sends military aid as well as military sales to Israel is something that must stop. Absolutely, it's horrible. And there are a lot of people who are interested this year in refusing their taxes because of U.S. complicity in what is going on in Gaza, as well as other places in the world, Ukraine as well. And the War Resisters League last year celebrated its 100th anniversary and has been adamantly opposed to wars of any sort and causes of war and anything that contributes to making war on the world.
Thank you. And Carol, you have the companion signs. So how about the companion sentiments? What brings you here? You're a member of the War Resistance League also?
Yes, and National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Council. So I've been refusing to pay taxes for almost 20 years now. It's the only way that I can really, other than activism, follow the news of what's going on, just to know that I am not personally culpable in the bombs raining down in Gaza and elsewhere.
How do you respond to people who say, but tax resistance, the fact of the matter is, it's also a defensive posture. It's not just an aggression at this point to support the Israeli Zionist attack on Gaza, indeed on all of Palestine. But your response to that?
Most of the U.S. wars have been wars of aggression. And, the U.S. is a huge empire and a hugely imperialistic empire. And it gets its way through weapons sales and war.
So what are you telling people to do or not to do?
I think they should contact War Resisters League or the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Council and find out how to be a tax resister. There are ways to do it that involve minimal risk, and then there are ways that have more risk. But in any case, the government needs to hear from as many citizens as possible in as many ways as possible that we are opposed to these wars.
And you are Carol?
Wald, W-A-L-D.
Right. What are you looking for?
A world of peace and justice.
Thanks. And we can't have peace without equal
exactly.
rights and justice.
There you go.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
And who are we just listening to?
Well, the Raging Grannies.
And you're still raging.
We have more to rage about than ever, very sadly. We have a very sad day.
And could you just tell us quickly what you're raging about?
Well, for one thing, we're raging about the genocide in Gaza. We're raging about a possibly imminent war with Iran. It's a pretty terrifying time, and all of the militarization and the destruction of the beautiful.
All of our money going for these weapons just to murder and slaughter people.
$800 billion.
Refuse to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to hear the musical accompaniment and rendition by the Raging Grannies.
Get us started. Thank you.
Our country has bases in hundreds of nations. We say we protect them from foreign invasions, but we are invading their civilizations with whistles, drones, weapons, and war. Where does taxpayer money go? Where does taxpayer money go? Where does taxpayer money go? Missiles, drones, weapons, and war.
So you got a sign, though.
Yes.
Not in our name and with our money.
Yes.
But what brings you here? Who are you and why are you protesting on tax day instead of dutifully tendering your taxes?
So my name is Jung Wan, and I am out here because my parents are survivors of the Korean War, which also began to escalate right around the time of the creation of the State of Israel. So it was 1948. It was the same year as the Nakba that Korea was divided and remains divided and remains at war. And so I am out here in solidarity as somebody who is from a family that has lost members to the separation permanently. We cannot return to our ancestral land in the north. We have relatives who are behind the other side of the border. And I just really feel the pain of being separated from one's family members, from one's communities, from one's land for so many years, and truly believe that there has to be a better way. I feel absolutely outraged that my tax dollars have gone to fund such war crimes, extrajudicial executions, land theft, all of these things, even before October 7th. This has been going on for many, many decades. And people talk about October 7th as if that was the beginning of all of this. But the State of Israel has broken the ceasefire time and time again in response to nonviolent protests like the March of Great Return, in 2014, in 2008, in 2009, in 2002. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. These, you know, so-called ceasefire agreements, Israel has disrespected them time and again. And so I just really believe that we, the people, have to compel our leaders to do the right and moral thing, because they have every incentive not to do it. And so we just have to keep raising hell until business as usual becomes impossible.
And that was just a little slab of one of the many demonstrations I attended today. And now we're going to, Jack Gilroy. He may not remember, but I first met him when he was sentenced to 3 months after he and about 30 others did a die-in outside the main gate of the 174th Attack Wing of the New York State Air National Guard at Hancock Air Base, just outside of Syracuse, and who remains an unrehabilitated, yes, that's true, unrehabilitated foe of militarism. And Mike Ferna, who is a national chair of Veterans for Peace, they both join us now to express their outrage over the genocide tax. That is $17.8 billion for Israel on top of $250 billion since 1970. Hey, what's your problem, guys?
Mike, Jack, talk about the genocide tax and your efforts to protest the IRS picking our pockets for war, or what the Pentagon would surely suggest is for national defense.
Tax Day, April 15th, 2024. We had a fair number of people with us in three different venues where the merchants of death, of course, are sucking the taxpayers dry with the profits they're making. We started first in Scranton, Genocide Joe's Scranton, Pennsylvania, where he'll be there. And a couple of people there said, you're not going to have a big crowd because everybody's waiting for Joe. But this is where they make the 155 millimeter unit. Mike Ferner lied down in front of the entranceway to the plant back in last December. So today we didn't do that. We just went there to try to deliver the letter that Terry Lodge, the attorney that Mike was able to get from Ohio, distinguished United States domestic lawyer expert who investigated domestic laws that arms makers were making, you know, what they were doing. And then as well, he also connected the fact that beyond the making of laws that were international laws, not just, I'm very tired. I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning, but international laws that Mike was able to get the distinguished international attorney from California, Marjorie Cohen, to check over the possibility of international law. Together between Terry Lodge and Marjorie Cohen, they came up with six laws that are broken by any individual company that decides they're going to send weapons to a human rights violator. It's kind of ridiculous to say. What about, you know, Israel? Of course, they're supplying Israel. So we were there to deliver this letter on tax day at a place where it's a great business for General Dynamics, because 155s are the most wanted weapon by Ukraine and a very much wanted weapon by Israel. And the price, if you're interested in Wall Street, interested in prices, the price of a 155, which are about, you know, about 2 feet high, 155 millimeters, obviously, in diameter, in circumference, rather. And they, about 100 pounds, but they pack with them white phosphorus, cluster bombs, various other horrible things. But the price has gone up since their demand, basic price and demand situation, tax payers should be happy to learn that now the merchants of death have increased the price from $2,000 per round to $8,400 per round. And in the meantime, they have increased the production from $14,000 a month to $28,000 a month. And by the end of this year, it's going to be over $100,000 a month that are going to be produced in both Scranton and one or two other facilities. So we were there to try to deliver this letter to let them know that they were breaking the law according to Terry Lodge and Marjorie Cohn, who was formerly the president of the U.S. Bar Association, international expert, and we couldn't get in. They wouldn't let us in. And so we have all this documented on video. We then drove north about 12 miles to another taxpayer's haven, Lockheed Martin, the giant of them all, right? Lockheed Martin has 400 war factories around the world, 139 in the United States. This particular place happens to make in Archibald. In a lot of the people in this little town of Archibald have little knowledge of what goes on, but they make the Paveway bombs, Paveway 1, Paveway 2, 500 or 1,000 pounds. Take your pick. Laser guided, right? They never make a mistake. No collateral damage, etc. So that's what they do there at Lockheed, the same company that down near Disneyland makes Hellfire missiles, right? Both Hellfire missiles and Paveway bombs have just obliterated Gaza. Huge, huge killings there. So we tried to get our tax day item to deliver to the people there, but they weren't accepting. And we drove up and were told to turn around. There's a huge territory that Lockheed Martin has, and you're breaking the law, etc. So we still had we didn't want to get arrested, so we still had another place to go to. It was BAE, which is another about an hour north of there. In BAE, which like it prides itself as being one of the one of the top 10 manufacturers of war materials, defense, right? They say defense, but they're either 5, 6, 7, whatever. What they're doing up there in Endicott, they're producing the howitzer systems. The howitzer systems are the systems that deliver the 155s made down in Scranton. Here you have Scranton with the 155s, an hour away, BAE doing the howitzer systems for delivery, mobile delivery of it, and in between the Paveway bomb. So it was pretty unique. Lockheed Martin in Archibald never had a protest there before. We're going to go back.
I'll bet you are. And Mike Furna, as I said, Jack Gilroy is an unrecantant, diehard, anti-materialist, anti-militarist activist, and didn't do him a bit of good by doing a couple of months in jail. He's still a peacemonger. Talk to us, following on what Jack Gilroy was saying about the genocide tax and your response, and really kudos to the enormous work that's gone on for decades of Veterans for Peace.
Thanks, Mimi. It's nice to be here with you. And I think Jack was just about to tell you that he got arrested at the last place they stopped.
Oh, Jack, again?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, as I said, unrecanted. Take it, Mike.
Anyway, but today I've been busy, and I usually file my taxes a few days before the 15th, but today it wasn't until the 15th that I got the taxes from the gentleman that does them for me. And I was making out the checks to the city of Toledo and the state of Ohio, and the feds said I owe them $2,000, and I wrote them a check for $1,000, because the 50% of my money that goes to the military is staying in my pocket this year.
Great.
And I intend to talk to Ed Hedeman, who was on your show earlier, and get some legal advice, but I just decided that—
Right, from the War Resistance League, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that enough's enough. And I'm gonna tell all my colleagues in Veterans for Peace that they haven't written that check to the feds yet, cut it in half at least. And next year, we're going to have a campaign to do that with all of our members around the country.
But by what audacity do you call the $17.8 billion for Israel that's been going all these years, not to mention the, all the more that they want now, or the $17 billion that's being proposed for Israel now on top of the $250 billion that they've already gotten since 1970. Why a genocide tax? It's merely for their common defense, is it not? Oh, of course I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but tell us the story of why you call these things genocide tax and your support to stop No more genocide in our name, not our tax dollars, not one penny more.
Well, I was talking with Ralph Nader, and he said, people got to start calling this a genocide tax. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. And he was bugging me for a couple of months. I haven't seen that in any of your material yet. So when I put this statement together for Tax Day that we sent out day before yesterday about the genocide tax, I called him up and I said, all right, I call it a genocide tax. I did not attribute it to you, but you probably stole it from somebody else. He said, no, I made that up.
Of course he stole it from somebody else. But why a genocide tax, whether we credit it to Ralph Nader, somebody else? But the fact of it is, what does that really mean for people who are listening and skeptical and saying, what are you talking about? They have been a reliable ally. This has nothing to do with anything other than security of that state, the beleaguered David fighting the Goliath that is the Middle East nations and the Palestinians.
Well, thank you, and for pulling me back from a little too much levity, perhaps. But it is a genocide tax. I mean, it's our money, it's taxes, and it's buying weapons that Jack was talking about and much more so that the state of Israel can commit genocide. And that's what they're doing. And you know, some people are still trying to make the case that it's self-defense, but there's fewer and fewer people believing that one. And if this country of ours was anything but a rogue country, as Professor Forey called it, if it was anything but a rogue country, and we would sign, for example, the international treaties having to do with the international criminal court, we would be held liable for these things. So we're escaping that kind of legal accountability right now as a nation. But there are not, you could count the countries on one hand where government officials from this country, from our country, can go to without risking either massive protests or outright arrests. That's how isolated the United States is getting, and Israel is even more isolated. So, you know, we are in the business of killing people. Unfortunately, that's where our taxes are going too far too often. In this case, it's in Palestine. And, you know, nobody with one eye on the news can escape what's going on. And active duty members, I'm talking to them every day, active duty members in the military right now who are saying, I'm either going to get out as a conscientious objector, or I'm going to figure out what I can do to make as big a fuss as possible and screw up everything I can from the inside. So, you know, we've had the State Department resignations, active duty members have had it. Biden's political people can't meet with Muslims in Michigan. And they're going to lose that state, and at the rate they're going, they're going to lose the election. So there's all of this that's going on. Unfortunately, we concerned people have not gotten out in enough streets and raised enough hell to stop the gears that are making this whole thing continue. And that's what we have to do. That is our job, is to raise living hell and make this country ungovernable. Withdraw our consent from this government and do that in any way possible and get the point across. They can't keep doing this, because right now the madmen arsonists are running the show, and they're going to keep lighting fires all over the world unless we figure out ways to prevent them from doing that.
And Jack Gilroy, you have Boeing, Raytheon, General Dynamics. Are these some of your next targets? Are these the mad arsonists that we are that Mike was talking about? And we have just about a minute for each one of you to take us out on this day and to thank you for thank you for your service, and most importantly, the rejection of militarism. And my gosh, Jack, do we have to send you bail money?
No. In fact, I think we have to continue to redo this sort of action. And there are other actions going on even today that I can't talk about, and I think Mike knows about a couple of them, that are much more provocative than what we were doing with the three merchants of death. So I think that if we begin to see shutdowns of highways, for example, and that might be one way. It had happened, remember, out in California last December, I think it was, and made national news. I think if that was done throughout the country, if you can only get people brave enough, even though there are some collateral damage situations involved, the situation is so despicable when you look at the stats, which I won't you know go over. You know them, but they're so despicable that we have to be willing to possibly have some collateral damage possible to wake up Americans to the horrors that we are supporting with our tax dollars. And I think that we following the raging grannies and following the tax resistors, boy, that's a tough act to follow. And I really appreciate Mike doing what he's doing. And I'm hoping that maybe I can follow through with that. If we can get more people to do that, just hold back their taxes, that could be a number one issue.
Mike, you want to take us out? I think Jack's a pretty hard act to follow, not to mention the raging grannies and all the folks from the War Resistance League and Extinction Rebellion and so many other groups that were there today to say, no, not in our name, no more genocide in our name, no more militarism, not a penny of our taxes for war. Your final thoughts, Mike Ferner?
I hope everybody that hears this will think about not just how upset they are about this, but think about what they've done so far. And whatever it is, take it up a big notch and do that plus more. You know, and if we can get out and start not just holding signs on the street corners, but sit down in the middle of the street and clog up things as much as possible, nonviolently, and just say, we are no longer giving this government our consent or our money.
Jack Gilroy, Mike Ferner, Veterans for Peace, you keep on keeping on for a war that is about equal justice, and we can't have peace until we have equal rights and justice. Thanks for your contributions. My good friends from Veterans for Peace, always on the case for decades now. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Karen Nash.
Thank you for listening to Building Bridges. That's what we do.
Thank you, folks.